First officer's log, stardate 48521.5. Odo and I are returning to Deep Space Nine after reviewing security procedures at Prophet's Landing, the Bajoran colony closest to the Cardassian border.
Those orbital sensor platforms should give the colonists plenty of advance warning in case the Cardassians ever decide to violate the new treaty.
Hopefully.
How did your meeting with Security Chief Bemar go?
Fine.
Was he properly impressed by the depth of your expertise? Otto, is something bothering you?
What makes you say that?
Well, for one thing, you haven't said five words to me since we left Prophet's Landing.
Huh?
Look, if I've done something to offend you, I wish you'd tell me what it is.
It's not important.
Whatever you say.
Certainly not worth making an issue about.
Well, glad to hear it.
It's just... when Governor Avesta invited us to dinner at his house...
Go on.
You said no.
And?
You never bothered to ask me if I wanted to go.
You wanted to go to the governor's house for dinner?
Not particularly.
Well, then what's the problem?
The problem is you never asked what I wanted.
Otto, you don't eat. Besides, you hate socializing with people you don't know.
Well, that's beside the point. I would have liked to have been consulted, that's all.
You're right. Next time we are invited out for dinner, I will make sure you are the one to say no.
I'd appreciate that.
Hold on. I'm picking up a wideband subspace transmission from a Lesepian supply ship. They've just been attacked by a Maquis interceptor.
Long-range sensors are detecting a modified Peregrine-class courier ship, lightly armed, one-man crew bearing 268 Mark 301.
The Maquis use Peregrine-class courier ships. The Lesepians didn't sustain any serious damage. I'm going after them.
Right.
British Sky Broadcasting presents Star Trek Deep Space Nine, based on Star Trek created by Gene Roddenberry. This episode is entitled Heart of Stone. A huge comet rushes through space, the light of billions of stars illuminating the frozen gas it leaves in its wake. Alone in the freezing blackness of a universe littered with stars and planets, the immense space station Deep Space Nine is dwarfed by the comet as it rushes past into the depths of space. The space station comprises a column and an inner and outer tube on a flat plane. The circles are huge tubes attached to each other and the central column by large metal arms. Deep Space Nine seems almost spherical. Three semicircular arms bend vertically, equidistant apart towards the center, but do not meet. Lights flash all over the space station. The regular blinking of navigation and positioning lights maintain its visibility. Along the inner and outer circular tubes, small blocks of square lights signify the windows of crew and civilian quarters in the habitat rings. The intense light of a distant star glares off the mud-colored hull, picking out the huge features of the giant space station. The shadows created only serve to emphasize the mystery of the former Cardassian stronghold. Lights shine in military order around the upper central segment of the central core, housing the operations room atop the power center. A Federation runabout flies over Deep Space Nine, and in the distance the blackness of space shifts. Blue light bursts from a spatial phenomenon. From nothing, the swirling, circular shape of the wormhole becomes visible. As quickly as it appeared, the wormhole is gone, folding in on itself and disappearing in a flash of intense pale blue light.
I don't know what the Maquis have done to that ship's engines, but it's fast.
Not fast enough. We're closing on him.
We better catch him soon. We're entering the Badlands.
Wait a minute. I've lost him. The Badlands' plasma fields are disrupting our sensors.
Increase the sensor bandwidth. That should compensate for the interference.
I hope you're right.
Well, he can't have gotten far. He's got to be somewhere in the solar system.
There he is. Looks like he's trying to land on one of the moons orbiting that gas giant.
I'm following him in.
There's something wrong with his ship. It looks like his attitude stabilizers have failed.
Can you get a transporter lock on him?
Too much interference. He's trying to land on that moon. We've lost him.
Did he make it?
I don't know. Something in the moon's atmosphere is jamming our sensors.
Then I guess we'll have to land and see for ourselves.
O'Brien to Sisko.
Go ahead.
Commander, there's someone here to see you.
Who is it?
It's Nog.
Nog?
Tell him it's urgent.
He says it's urgent.
Send him in.
I told you he'd see me. Commander, first, let me express my most sincere thanks for allowing me to speak with you.
Nog thrusts out his right hand and Sisko shakes it.
You're welcome. Now, what is this all about?
I wanted to give you this. Open it!
Sisko gently unties a package containing a pile of gold bars.
What's this?
It's latinum.
I know it's latinum, but why are you giving it to me?
Yesterday, I completed the Ferengi attainment ceremony. I'm an adult.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
But that doesn't explain this.
According to Ferengi bylaws, section 105, subparagraph 10, upon reaching adulthood, Ferengi males must purchase an apprenticeship from a suitable role model. I choose you.
You want to be my apprentice?
That's right. I want to be the first Ferengi in Starfleet. Now, who do I see about getting a uniform?
Nog, if you want to become a Starfleet officer, you have to attend the academy.
All right. Where do I sign up?
It's not that simple. As a non-Federation citizen, you need a letter of reference from a command-level officer before you can even take the entrance exam.
A command-level officer? You mean like you?
Well, yes, like me.
Then you'll write the letter.
I'll think about it.
Thank you, Commander. I know you'll make the right decision.
Nog pushes the package towards Sisko and suddenly remembering, thrusts out his right hand, Commander to shake.
Aren't you forgetting something?
Keep it. Consider it a token of my appreciation.
With a last look at the latinum, Nog leaves. Sisko turns away from the door with a look of confused amusement and rests his head in his hands.
Tricorders are useless. The atmospheric ionization is jamming their transponders.
You sure he's in these caverns?
Well, he wasn't in the wreckage of his ship, and given the weather conditions on the surface, there's no way anyone could survive out there for very long, so that leaves...
That's the third quake since we got here. This moon must be seismically unstable.
The sooner we find our fugitive, the better off we'll be.
Well, finding him isn't going to be easy. These caverns could go on forever. And with all this seismic activity, I don't want to stay here any longer than we have to. I say we split up. We meet back here in 20 minutes. And if we haven't found him by then, we may have to leave without him.
If he's smart, he'll let us find him. Federation prison would be paradise compared to this place.
Oh, let's hope he's smart.
We'll see you in 20 minutes.
They split up, heading off along dark underground tunnels through the rocks.
This is Odo. I can barely hear you.
Odo, I'm trapped. I need your help. Come quickly. Odo, do you read me?
Stay where you are, Major. I'm on my way.
Odo runs back the way he came, his torch flashing jagged shadows over the walls as he searches for Kira. Running into a small, low-ceilinged cavern, he swings his light around, peering into the shadows.
Odo, is that you?
I'm right here, Major.
Odo, I'm glad to see you.
What's wrong?
You're not going to believe this. My foot is stuck.
Stuck? How?
I don't know. I must have stepped in a fissure or something. I can't get it loose.
Let me take a look.
As he reaches towards the rocks around Kira's feet, they suddenly expand and grow.
It's not a fissure.
Then what is it?
Your foot's been encased in some kind of crystal. From the look of things, crystal is spreading. Now, you're sure you can't pull it loose?
Oh, believe me, I've tried.
Maybe if you slip your foot out of your boot.
I can barely feel my foot. The crystal is pressing against it so hard, there's no way I can get my boot off.
Hold on a minute.
Searching the floor, Odo grabs a rock and kneels at Kira's feet.
This might hurt a bit.
Go ahead.
Ah.
The rock shatters against the crystals.
I fail to see the humor in this situation.
Come on, Odo. It's pretty ridiculous, don't you think? The two of us being outsmarted by a chunk of crystal?
Well, I'm not giving up just yet.
Neither am I. Hand me my phaser.
Sure, this is a good idea. If you're not careful.
I may blow off my foot and give Julian the chance to prove what a wonderful doctor he is. Don't worry. I have no intention of giving him the opportunity. Stand back.
Odo stares in amazement as the crystals expand and solidify around Kira's knee.
I guess that wasn't such a good idea after all.
The crystal formation seems to have somehow fed off the energy from your phaser. Odo to Mekong, two to beam out. Energize. Odo to Mekong! Can't contact the runabout. There's too much interference. I'll have to walk back to the landing site and try to transport you from there.
Are you worried about leaving me here?
Now that you mention it, yes.
I'll be fine, Odo. I promise not to go anywhere.
He nods and turns, heading down a passage back to the Mekong. On Deep Space Nine, Nog helps his father with a replicator power unit.
Nog, hand me that phase matrix recalibrator.
Here you are, father. Is it fixed yet?
Well, not yet, brother.
What's taking so long?
We're working as fast as we can. The replicator's entire power supply grid has been shorted out.
I told you, brother, if you don't shut down your replicators at least once a week for routine maintenance, your risk system overloads like this one.
You said it might overload the system. Might.
He tried to warn you, Uncle Quark. You should have listened to him.
No, it's my fault. I should have explained it better.
Of course it's your fault. Everything that goes wrong here is your fault. It says so in your contract. Now, this mess had better be cleaned up before lunchtime, or I'm taking the losses out of your pay.
Of course, brother. I need to get a replacement power coupling from the storage room. I'll be right back.
Nog stares angrily into space as Rom scurries to the storage room. The door to the bar opens and Jake Sisko strides in.
Hey, Nog. What's going on?
If you're here to order lunch, you'll have to come back in an hour.
Actually, I just ate. Hey, that was a pretty funny joke you pulled on my dad this morning.
What?
You know, about wanting to join Starfleet.
I wasn't joking.
Come on, Nog. You don't really expect me to fall for that one.
Did you tell your father I was joking?
Yeah, kind of.
How could you do that to me? I want you to go back to your father and tell him that you were wrong.
All right, calm down. I mean, how was I supposed to know you were serious? You never said you wanted to join Starfleet before.
I'm saying it now.
So what brought this on?
I have my reasons.
Okay, name one.
Why should I?
Because I'm your friend, and friends don't keep secrets from one another.
It's not a secret. I just don't feel like talking about it.
Why?
Because it's personal. Stop asking me.
All right. But my father's a pretty smart guy, and if this is some kind of trick, he's gonna figure it out.
There's nothing to figure out. I'm joining Starfleet, and that's that. Now, if you don't mind, I have a lot of work to do.
Nog sits down at the counter to work on the power unit, but looks sadly up at the door, knowing that he should have said something to Jake. Odo sits at the controls of the Mekong, safe from the buffeting wind and harsh, rocky terrain.
Computer, lock onto these coordinates and initiate transport sequence.
Unable to comply.
Explain.
The high level of atmospheric ionization is inhibiting transporter lock.
Can you compensate for the interference by using pattern enhancers?
Negative. Pattern enhancers will not function in a polarized ionization field.
Is there any way to achieve a transporter lock in this kind of ionization field?
Negative.
Computer, send out a priority one distress signal to Deep Space Nine.
Unable to comply. Communication systems are inoperable due to atmospheric interference.
In that case, launch a communications probe and instruct it to begin a continuous broadcast of our whereabouts as soon as it clears the atmosphere.
Working. Probe launch confirmed.
Computer, given ideal conditions, how soon can we expect help from Deep Space Nine?
Deep Space Nine should receive the probe's distress signal in approximately 2 days.
Leaning back on the seat, he raised... Sadness crosses his face. Odo returns through the labyrinthine tunnels to Kira. Startled by the distant phaser fire, he races into the cavern.
Kira! I heard phaser fire.
You just missed our friend. He came out of that tunnel. I think he was as surprised as I was. He fired at me from over there, and when I shot back, he ran off down the tunnel. Don't worry, his aim wasn't any better than mine was.
He didn't miss by much.
My lucky day.
Stepping away from the wall, Odo stares uncomprehendingly at Kira and down to her leg encased in crystals, his eyes filled with confusion.
I see you've put in a request to reassign Ensign Felix Pratt from cargo inspection.
I think that would be best, given his condition. I don't want him coming into contact with any hazardous materials.
His condition?
Felix Pratt is budding. His buds are undergoing individuation in just over a month.
You mean he's pregnant?
Twins.
Ah, reassignment granted. I'll have to make sure I offer my congratulations to the ensign the next time I see him.
Well, O'Brien and I are throwing him a baby shower in a couple of days. I think it would mean a lot to him if you were there.
Are you getting him anything?
O'Brien's building him a hatchling pond, and I've put an order in with Garrick for some new baby clothes.
Count me in.
Aye, sir.
Ensign Pratt.
Nog suddenly spots Sisko on the promenade deck and races out of the bar, ignoring a customer.
Commander Sisko, have you made up your mind yet about my letter?
Not exactly.
What does that mean, not exactly?
Look, Nog, I have to be honest with you. When I think of candidates for Starfleet Academy, yours is not the first name that comes to mind.
Why not? Because I'm a Ferengi?
Not at all. The fact is, your reputation on this station leaves a lot to be desired. Your school grades are mediocre at best. And you've had more than a few run-ins with Constable Odo.
Okay, so I've made some mistakes. I admit that. But I could do better. Just give me a chance.
Nog thrusts out his right hand, but this time Sisko does not take it.
You wanted to see me, Benjamin?
Lieutenant, I need a complete inventory of the contents of Cargo Bay 12.
Didn't we inventory 12 last week?
I'd like it done again.
All right, I'll assign a crew to it immediately.
Actually, I already have someone in mind for the job.
Really, who?
Nog.
Nog?
He's asked for a recommendation to Starfleet Academy.
Nog?
My reaction exactly.
I always thought it would be interesting to have a Ferengi in Starfleet. But Nog?
I know it seems unlikely, but before I make up my mind, I want to give him a chance to prove himself.
Commander, there's a lot of valuable equipment in Cargo Bay 12.
I know.
Maybe I should assign a couple of crew members to assist him.
No. I want him to do it alone. No help, no interference, no one looking over his shoulder.
I wish I could analyze this material.
Too bad our tricorders don't work.
Or our communicators, or the transporter. Our fugitive couldn't have chosen a better place to hide. Very convenient, don't you think?
You make it sound like he planned on trapping us.
Well, maybe he did. But it's not going to work. I'm going to get you out of here.
How long do you think I have, Odo?
Long enough.
I figure at the rate the crystal's been growing, I'm going to be completely covered in less than 12 hours. Unless this cave collapses first.
There has got to be a way to shatter this crystal.
I'm sure there is, but that doesn't mean we're going to find it in less than 12 hours.
We'll find it. Major. Do you ever look at the criminal activity reports we get from Starfleet Security?
Not often.
You should. They make fascinating reading.
A few months ago, we got a report on a theft on Remel 6. It seems the natives there spin a kind of crystalline webbing that they use to construct their buildings. A band of Norsican raiders broke into their central museum by using a high-frequency ultrasonic generator to create a sympathetic vibration inside the webbing and shatter it.
So all we need to do is find a band of Norsican raiders and ask them to give us a hand?
Oh, I might be able to put together a makeshift generator using the covariant oscillator on the runabout. The trick will be finding the right frequency to create a sympathetic vibration inside this crystal. I'm going to have to go back to the runabout, start assembling the generator, keep your phaser handy, in case our friend decides to come back.
I will.
I'll be back as soon as I can.
Constable, when we get back to the station, I'm going to start reading those criminal activity reports.
I'll make sure you get them.
Due to a computer error, we lost the manifest in this entire cargo bay. Commander Sisko would like you to re-inventory its contents.
The entire cargo bay?
That's right.
By myself?
Look, Nog, Starfleet isn't just about diplomacy, exploration. A lot of the time, it's just hard work.
When does Commander Sisko want it done?
He would like the manifest on his desk first thing in the morning.
He'll have it tonight, before he goes off duty.
Tomorrow morning we'll be fine, Nog.
Now, if you don't mind, Lieutenant, I'd like to get started.
He holds out his hand for the manifest pad and Dax gives it to him. Nog turns, looking at the crates piled high around the walls of the cargo bay, and with a satisfied smile, he begins.
How long do you think it's going to be before the generator finds the right frequency?
It's hard to say. It could take hours.
I don't suppose there's any way to speed things up. I didn't think so.
Don't worry, Major. I have every intention of getting us back to the station by tomorrow night. Chief O'Brien is counting on it.
What does O'Brien have to do with it?
We have an appointment.
What kind of appointment? Talk to me, Odo. It helps pass the time.
The chief and I are supposed to go kayaking together in a hollow suite.
You're kidding. How did he talk you into that one?
Well, he didn't talk me into anything. It's really quite enjoyable.
You mean you've done it before?
Twice. He invited me one evening, and seeing I had no plans, I accepted.
I'm sorry. I'm just having trouble imagining the two of you together in a boat.
Well, if it helps any, he's the one who does all the singing.
He sings?
He says it's necessary to establish a smooth paddling rhythm.
This gets better and better. What kinds of songs does he sing?
Ancient human sea chanties, mostly. He's particularly fond of one called Louie Louie.
I never pictured O'Brien as a nautical type.
Next to his work and his family, shooting the rapids is his favorite activity. He's had the holo program since he was on the Enterprise.
How long do these boat trips usually take?
That depends.
On what?
On how many times we capsize.
It must be a very difficult program.
It's extremely difficult. According to him, he's dislocated his shoulder half a dozen times trying to make it down those rapids.
Well, then why does he keep doing it?
Because he loves it. And it's been my observation that you humanoids have a hard time giving up the things you love, no matter how much they might hurt you.
I'm glad you're here, Odo.
I'm glad I'm here, too.
Odo!
A glowing, rippling liquid cover protects the Major and the generator. Falling rocks bounce off it as the earthquake subsides. Slowly, the liquid shield bends and lifts as Odo gathers his form and returns to a humanoid state.
Major!
I'm all right. What about the generator?
It's fine. It still hasn't found the right frequency to shatter the crystal.
Tell it to hurry.
A couple more tremors like that last one and this whole cave is gonna collapse.
Well, we'll just have to make sure that doesn't happen. After all, we've been in worse situations than this one and come out all right.
Name three. I can't think of any either.
No, it's not that. It's just that... that wasn't the response I expected.
What do you mean?
In the detective novels Chief O'Brien gives me to read, when the hero says, "We've been in tougher situations than this one," his friends always agree.
I never read any of those books.
There must be some humanoid platitude I can use to cheer you up.
I don't have much use for platitudes, Otto. I'd rather face the truth of a situation and go on from there.
I feel the same way.
I know, you do. That's why you and I get along so well.
I suppose it is. But in this case, the truth is, we're going to get you out of here, Major. And that's no platitude.
I must admit, this is impressive work.
Incredible is more like it. He inventoried the whole cargo bay in under 5 hours.
You sure he didn't have any help?
According to the internal sensors, no one else entered that cargo bay the entire time he was there.
I guess he did learn something working in his uncle's storeroom. I assume that all of our equipment is where it's supposed to be.
If you're asking if he stole anything, the answer is no. He even found some things we missed on our last inventory.
Okay, so now we know he's a hard worker. The question remains, why does he want to join Starfleet?
I have no idea.
I don't understand it. I've run through the entire harmonic spectrum and none of the frequencies have had any effect on the crystal. It's almost as if the structure of the crystal is mutating to keep us from finding the right frequency.
Oh, no.
Yes, Major. Oh, I wish there was something else I could do.
Just keep talking to me.
What do you want me to say?
Anything. Tell me a story.
Story?
I know. Tell me how you got your name.
My name? Now that you mention it, that is an amusing story.
Tell it to me.
Well, as you know, when Dr. Mora first brought me to his laboratory, it was under Cardassian supervision. All specimens had to be clearly labeled in Cardassian so the overseers would always know what scientists were working on. Since no one was exactly sure what I was, Mora labeled me Unknown Sample, which the overseer translated into Cardassian as Odoital.
So your name is Unknown Sample?
No. Odoital literally means the word nothing. Even after it became clear that I was sentient, the Bajoran scientists kept calling me that. As a joke, they split it into two words, like a Bajoran name, Odoital, which eventually got shortened.
To Odo.
But, now, the thing is, for the longest time, whenever anyone would use my name, the first thing I would think of was what it meant. Nothing. What better way to describe me? I had no family, no friends, no place where I belonged. I thought it was the most appropriate name anyone could give me. And then I met you. And the others. Sisko, Dax, even Quark. And now, when I hear one of you call me Odo, I no longer think of myself as nothing. I think of myself as me. I'm sorry, Major. I guess that story wasn't as amusing as I hoped it would be.
Oh, I liked it very much.
The ultrasonic generator isn't gonna work, is it?
No. I'm afraid it's not.
I don't suppose you have any other ideas.
I wish I had.
Neither do I.
Doesn't make sense. The ultrasonic generator should have worked. Something's not right here.
Oh, no. You've done your best. It's time for you to go.
Go?
This place is gonna collapse any minute. The Maquis is probably dead from one of the cave-ins. There's nothing more you could do for me.
If you're asking me to leave...
As your superior officer, I'm telling you to take the runabout and get the hell off this moon. That's an order. Oda, why are you still standing there? I told you to get out of here.
I'm not leaving.
Constable, I gave you a direct order.
You can order me all you want. As of now, I'm resigning my commission.
Odo, if you stay here, you'll die.
You don't know that for certain. And even if it were true, I'm not going to abandon you.
I want you to get out of here.
Don't you understand? I can't!
You have to. Odo, please.
No, I won't leave you.
Why?
Because! Because I'm in love with you. So, now you know.
Odo, I'm in love with you too.
You wanted to see me, Commander.
Nog, I've given your request a lot of thought.
I appreciate that, Commander.
But I'm afraid I'm going to have to turn you down.
Turn me down? Why? Did I do something wrong?
It's not anything you did, Nog. You're just not Academy material. Here. This belongs to you.
Commander, can't we talk about this?
There's nothing to talk about. We both know you'd never make it through the Academy. You couldn't handle the workload or the discipline. You wouldn't last 2 weeks.
That's not true! I'm a hard worker! I prove that to you!
It doesn't matter. And I'm not going to put my reputation on the line just to satisfy some whim of yours.
It's not just a whim. I'm serious about joining Starfleet.
I don't have time for this, Nog. Now, whatever little scheme you had, you can forget it. I'm not giving you that letter.
It's not a joke or a scheme. I want to join Starfleet. I want it more than anything I've ever wanted in my life.
You're a Ferengi. Why would you want to be in Starfleet? Where's the profit in it?
I don't care about profit!
Then what do you care about? Come on, Nog, tell me! Why is it so damned important that you get into Starfleet? Why are you doing this?
Because I don't want to end up like my father!
Your father?
That's right, my father. He's been chasing profit his whole life. And what has it gotten him? Nothing. And you know why? Because he doesn't have the lobes. And neither do I.
And a Ferengi without profit
is no Ferengi at all.
The 18th rule of acquisition.
My father... He's a mechanical genius. He could have been chief engineer of a starship if he'd had the opportunity. But he went into business like a good Ferengi. The only thing is, he's not a good Ferengi. Not when it comes to acquiring profit. So now, all he has to live for is the slim chance that someday, somehow, he might be able to take over my uncle's bar. Well, I'm not going to make the same mistake. I want to do something with my life, something worthwhile.
Like joining Starfleet?
I may not have an instinct for business, but I have my father's hands and my uncle's tenacity. I know I've got something to offer. I just need the chance to prove it.
All right. I'll see that you get that chance.
You're gonna recommend me to Starfleet Academy?
I'll send the letter the first thing tomorrow morning.
Commander, I don't know how to thank you.
Whoa. Don't thank me yet. You still have a lot of work ahead of you.
Don't worry. You're never going to regret this.
Odo.
Yes, Major.
You haven't said a word to me in over an hour.
I've just been going over a few things in my mind.
I'm sorry I waited so long to tell you how I feel about you. If I told you earlier, maybe things would have been different. What are you smiling about?
I think I finally figured out what's going on here. This whole situation hasn't seemed right since the beginning. There have been too many coincidences, too many unanswered questions.
Are you still trying to prove that this is all some kind of conspiracy?
You said the Maquis was standing here when he shot at you?
That's right.
How tall was he? My height?
No. Maybe shorter.
Like this?
More or less. But does it matter anyway?
It matters. Because from this position, you're blocking those phaser hits. There's no way someone standing here could hit those rocks without hitting you first.
Maybe he was standing somewhere else.
Maybe. Or maybe you were lying to me. Which makes two times you've lied to me today.
What are you talking about?
You lied when you said you were shot at by the Maquis. And you lied when you said you loved me.
I do love you.
I wish you did. But you don't. Remember, Major, I pride myself on my ability to observe human nature. And I've watched you for the past 3 years. In all that time, I never saw any indication that you had those kind of feelings for me. You like me. You think of me as a close friend. But love? I'm afraid not.
Maybe I told you I loved you because I thought it would make you feel better. Because I thought that's what you wanted to hear.
You're lying again. The Kira, I know, has far too much regard for our friendship to lie to me, even for the best of reasons.
Odo, I can explain.
Good. And you can start by telling me who you are and what you've done with Kira.
He points a phaser at Kira's face. She smiles, and the tension of constraint leaves her body as she and her crystal prism transform into a liquid shape and pour into a single humanoid changeling figure. Odo stares in utter amazement.
Well done, Odo. You really are quite a skillful investigator.
And you're quite a skillful changeling.
You still have much to learn.
If you want to share your wisdom, tell me where Major Kira is.
Close by.
You were the fugitive we were chasing, weren't you?
That's correct.
How did you get your hands on a Maquis ship?
Now, Odo, you really can't expect me to give you all the answers.
But why lead us here? Why replace Major Kira?
I needed to understand why you chose to live with the Solids rather than your own people. I suspected it had something to do with Major Kira. Now, I'm certain of it.
So your plan was to let me think she died.
You thought that would take away my link to the solids?
Then you will return to us.
I assure you, nothing will ever make me do that.
I wouldn't be so sure.
Tell me where she is.
And if I don't, then what? You'll shoot me? No changeling has ever harmed another.
There's always a first time.
Major Kira's down that tunnel, 200 meters south of here. Save her if it suits you. But it won't make any difference. She is never going to love you. How could she? You are a changeling.
He watches her face for a sign of sympathy or understanding, but she simply steps backwards and disappears in a column of swirling blue transport light. Finding Kira unconscious in a glass-topped crate, Odo quickly wakes her.
Major, wake up!
Odo, what happened? What am I doing here?
It's a long story. Right now, we have to get you back to the Mekong.
Back on Deep Space Nine, Kira and Odo exit the runabout and walk out of the airlock.
There's one thing I still don't understand. If that founder was trying to test your allegiance to the solids, why did you impersonate me?
I suppose it's because you happened to be with me in the runabout. It could have just as easily been Commander Sisko, Dr. Bashir.
What finally made you realize the truth?
Well, she eventually made a mistake. She said something I know you would never say.
What was that?
Just a slip of the tongue. Nothing important.
I tell you, I won't stand for it. No nephew of mine is going to disgrace our family name by joining Starfleet.
But Uncle Quark...
My mind is made up. I forbid it.
No, you don't.
Rom, stay out of this.
I will not. When it comes to the bar, you may be in charge. But when it comes to my son, I make the decisions.
Fine. You tell him he can't go.
Nog. Good luck. I would be proud to have a son in Starfleet.
You're both insane.
Like father, like son.
The End, voiced by Marston York for British Sky Broadcasting.